Some of the key players this summer, I had the opportunity to catch up with three of them yesterday. Still to come, Nathan Lyon, the man who's taken the seventh most wickets ever in Test cricket, and Marcus Harris trying to win back his place in the Test team. One guy who's living a similar story is Manus Labuschagne. I caught up with him yesterday. The man who's 31 years of age, averages 46 in Test cricket, and yet he's not in the lineup. I started by welcoming him back to ABC Sport.
Lovely to join you, Corbin. Always a pleasure.
31 years of age, test average of 46, and yet you're on the outside looking in with a big home summer coming up in an Ashes series. How did it get here? Is there part of you where you think, gee, I'm still got a tremendous record and everything else, and yet now I'm fighting for my spot back in the test team? Well, how do you make sense of it all?
No, I would look at it, everything as an opportunity. It's an opportunity for me. I didn't have the best 2 years, the last year and a half, 2 years, I wasn't playing near my best, and understandably that's why I've got myself in a situation where I'm looking on the outer. But the reality is that, all that's in the past. Like you said, it's good to be able to sort of go back and go, well, I've had pretty bad 2 years, but I've still got test runs under my belt. I'm still averaging a decent amount in test cricket, and I know I can do it. A year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I was one of the best players in the world. And now I've got to find a way to get myself back in the test team.
How was it communicated to you when you found yourself out of the lineup, obviously, for that West Indies series?
I mean, I was with the selector and coach, and they just said that, when you're not playing this series or this test in the West Indies. And, understandably, I was disappointed, but, at no stage did I like, oh, geez, shock, I can't believe you dropped me. Like, this is all the, average this is it. It's not. It's like, yep, I understand, what I need to do. And, even during that meeting, I was working out how I'm going to get back to my best. What does that look like? And starting to then put the things in place for me to get back playing at my best. And, that's hopefully where we are right now. Obviously, the start of the season, we started well. Queensland got two wins, and I was able to get a nice score in that first game of the year, and hopefully that just propels me into some more consistent performances.
Answer that question for me then, the same one that I guess you posed to yourself. What have you done to be able to get back to your best cricket? Is it getting back to something you've done previously, or is it remedial work to change going forward? What have been some of that stuff that you've done behind the scenes since, I guess, we've probably seen you last out there at international level?
I mean, first and foremost, I sort of took a step back in the sense that just looked at what I really wanted to get done with my technique and where I wanted my game to be. Because I think when you're playing, you don't have that ability to step away. And because, you always got to prepare to play. Sometimes your technique might not be in the right spot or, for whatever reason. And it's hard to do that when you're in that playing mode. But when you're out of the team, the month I had in the West Indies working with Michael DiVenuto and Matthew Wade was over there as well, is putting in the time, actually working out where I wanted my game to be, what I wanted it to look like, and then from that point, then shifting that momentum back to, okay, this is what I want it to look like, this is the technique that I feel like is going to best suit where my game's at right now and where people are going to bowl and how teams are going to attack me. And then really going on that journey, trying to play a lot of cricket when I got back, playing in the local T20 comp here in Queensland, and then obviously starting the season well, some practice games against Tasmania. I just wanted to get more, probably going to sound weird, but less time in the nets and more time out in the game trying to work out those things on the run rather than doing those changes when I'm in the net.
Do you feel like the guy that you are now as a batsman already in this short time away from the team is different than the one that walked out there to play the World Test Championship final?
Different in what way?
But do you feel like your game's, I guess, in a better state than it was then?
Oh, cricket-wise? Yeah, definitely. I think I'm a very consistent person off the field, and I think that's what's great about having a family. But in terms of on the field, I think, my game's improved. And that's one thing I'm always trying to do. I'm always trying to get better, and I'm always trying to push the envelope. What do I need to change to get better, to be the best player in the world? How can I do that? looking at footage and those sorts of things. But yeah, at the moment, you know, I'm in a really nice space. Got great clarity around my technique and where my game's at. So, you know, hopefully the runs can sort of mimic that.
Were you open or were you bad at number three for Queensland?
No, I'm bad at three for Queensland. Like I said, I'm doing what's best for the team. And, yeah, we've got two fantastic openers. We've got two test openers opening and batting. I don't think it makes a difference if I'm batting three or opening for the selectors to pick me if they want me to open or bat at three. So, you know, if you're batting in the top three, I think there's, yeah, I think that tells the story itself.
So even after, I guess, a relatively short time out of the team, if you were picked for that first test in November, the way you feel right now is that you're ready to contribute and you're ready to have another crack at it?
Oh, I'm certainly not ready to have a crack. I want to be there. Like I said, I'm on the journey. Yeah, I want to be back in the Australian team, but I want to be the best player in the world again. You know, that's my goal and that's where I want to be. So, you know, there's by no chance if I get the chance, it's, you know, I'm fully believe that, you know, if I get the opportunity this summer or whenever I'm in team, I'll be ready to go and I'll be ready to score runs for Australia.
The injury sub that's coming into Sheffield Shield cricket, Marnus, do you like it or not like it?
I think once again I feel like a fence sitter. I don't particularly love it because I mean, you know, we're playing test cricket or you're playing, let's say, four-day cricket, which is mimicking test cricket. And the aid is, you know, it's the true test of a player, mental, physical, you know, it adds all those things in. Now, you know, if you can start playing test cricket with 12 people, then obviously that's a different option. I think where it aids, you know, I think Australian cricket is, potentially guys that get, you know, a lower grade hamstring tear at the back end of the season or something like that, and not having to push through, you know, the game and then potentially making an injury bigger and then you're getting yourself, you know, a 4 to 5, 6 weeks out because, you know, you've got a grade 3 hamstring tear where when you first did it in the game, if you pulled the pin there and sub someone in, you might have only had 1 week and then you're back playing. So there's a few things where I can see how it could aid from an overall domestic perspective. But with any rule like that, there's plenty of loopholes. There's plenty of, you know, there's plenty of opportunities to exploit the rule to the benefit. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes.
All right. And last one, Marnus, you were playing in a one-day game recently of which you had success. And there was a particular incident in which you defended the ball in front of you. All of a sudden, your batting partner, found himself down your end. You moved the ball away to stop it rolling back on the stumps. There was a big appeal for obstructing the field. Did the umpire get it right in that scenario? Obviously, it went your way. I'm sure you've had a chance to see it back multiple times. You got any further thoughts on that?
No, I think it was out. I think it was out, but you know the way I would explain it is I don't think the batter's intention. Obviously, I didn't touch the ball with my hand, but I obstructed the fielder potentially from picking up the ball. My intention was obviously to pick the ball up and throw it back to him, and then I saw my partner halfway down. But the reality is, my intention shouldn't have any bearing on the dismissal. You know, if my intent was or wasn't to stop the fielder, I think the decision, obviously, I think if there was a third umpire, the decision would have been out.
Yeah, that's how I... Gee, you're an honest man. That's how I saw it as well. But as we love to say in cricket, sometimes you just need a little bit of luck early in an innings, the same way with, if it's an LBW decision or whatever it turns out to be. What's the most bizarre... This is a bonus question. I know I said I'd let you go. What's the most bizarre way you've been out? You would have played millions of innings by now. Have you ever been out in that kind of fashion or any other weird kind of way at any level?
Yep, I got man-catted.
Ooh.
Got man-catted by West in a Taverners game.
Yes.
In a two-day game. Second last over of the day.
Oh, no. You play cricket long enough, you'll find new ways to get out. There's no doubt about that. Marnus, great to see you back amongst the runs already, even in this young season, and we haven't even got to the first Shield game yet. Good luck coming up for Queensland, and hopefully we see you in Perth in late November. Appreciate your time, as always.
Thank you very much, Corbin. Have a good one.